there's something wrong and you can't put your finger on it. Right then, roll to me. And I don't think I have ever seen a soul so in despair. So if you want to talk the man through, guess who will be there? So don't try to deny it, pretty baby. You've been down so long you can hardly see. When the engine stalls and it won't stop raining, it's the right time to roll to me. Roll.
WRPQ Baraboo.
W279EG Reedsburg.
ABC News, I'm Brian Clark. Hamas is speaking for the first time since its leader, Yahya Sinwar, was killed Thursday by Israeli forces. A top Hamas official says they will not return hostages until there's a ceasefire and an Israeli withdrawal from Gaza. ABC News contributor and former Assistant Secretary of Defense Mick Mulroy said Sinwar's death could reopen ceasefire hopes.
I think the U.S. and potentially Israel do view this as an opportunity to try to restart ceasefire negotiations, which had effectively ended until this event, and see if they can't get somewhere without him in the way.
President Biden's in Germany for a day of meetings, while in the U.S., 18 days to Election Day, both former President Trump and Vice President Harris campaigning in Michigan. The National Highway Traffic Safety Administration says it's investigating the full self-driving system in about 2.4 million Teslas after reports of crashes in low visibility conditions. This is ABC News.
Now this news update on Wisconsin Radio Network. I'm Ted Aylin. Charges are filed Thursday in the death of 3-year-old Elijah Vu. The boy's mother, Katrina Bauer, is being charged with chronic neglect of a child, consequences death, child neglect, and obstructing an officer. Bauer's boyfriend, Jesse Vang, was charged with physical abuse of a child, repeated acts causing death, hiding a corpse, and obstructing an officer. Vice President Kamala Harris campaigned in Wisconsin Thursday with stops on 3 college campuses. During Harris's stop at UW-Milwaukee, protesters opposing U.S. support of Israel's war in Gaza were outside the student union. Harris also had events in La Crosse and Green Bay. And the Department of Natural Resources is asking you to avoid burning due to elevated fire danger across the state. The DNR is partnering with the National Weather Service to monitor the situation over the weekend. Current wildfire concerns are primarily due to lack of precipitation statewide and gusty winds.
Max FM, Gem City Weather.
Sunny and warm and a little windy today. We'll get to around 70 for a high this afternoon. The wind will be south at 15 to 25. Clear tonight, 42. Tomorrow, sunshine, 73. Then on Sunday, mostly sunny with a high back up to 78. Paying too much for health insurance? Call 800-693-9308 for better rates and coverage. 800-693-9308. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Right now, it's 45.
99.7.
Maximum hits, 99.7 Max FM. Dave Graham with you, 8:04 on Friday morning. Coming up right around 8:10, we're at Mayor Rob Nelson in to talk about the referendum that the city of Baraboo is asking for. Again, this is an unscripted interview with Mayor Rob Nelson. That'll be up after Van Halen. And then we will have Maddie and Hobbledale being a little bit early. A lot to talk about with the Packers. Here's David Bowie and Queen Under Pressure on Max FM.
Pressing down on me, pressing down on you, no man has fallen. Under pressure, the brains are filled and down, streets are fairly in tune. But people on streets, eat it up, eat it up. That's okay, that's the terror of knowing.
So slashed and torn.
99.7 Max FM. Dave Grant joined by Mayor Rob Nelson of the city of Bear Room. Mayor Nelson, how are you doing today?
Doing great today. It's a beautiful morning out there. The sun is out. The weather's got that crisp fall feel to it. The colors are starting to turn. It's just a beautiful day in Bear Room today.
Yes, it is. And we thank you for joining us. As part of full disclosure, as we start this interview today, my wife does work for the city of Baraboo, and I work there in a part-time fashion on an ad hoc basis. Mayor Nelson, are you comfortable continuing this interview with that stipulation?
You betcha. Thanks for making that clear for everybody, Dave.
Yes, certainly. We want that to be clear to our listeners because we don't want anyone to go ask that question down the road. So, Mayor Nelson, how did we get to the point of needing a referendum?
Well, the story really starts probably about 10 years ago as the state imposed levy limits on municipalities. And so basically, a municipality's ability to raise its operational levy is limited to the amount of net new construction that occurs within that community over the previous year. And what we've seen over the last decade is, you know, as that level of net new construction in the city of Baraboo has been somewhere between 0.5% and 1.5% or so, the rate of inflation has been much higher than that. And so our cost to pay, you know, for things like diesel fuel for our trucks, asphalt to fix the roads, wages for employees, all those sorts of expenses have been going up much quicker than the rate of net new construction. And so that creates a gap between what we're able to levy for our operational costs and what those costs actually are.
Okay, thank you for that. What is the city asking for as part of this referendum?
So what we're asking for is a one-time $2 million increase in the base levy. And so what that means is for tax bills that would be for the 2024 tax year, would see that $2 million increase, and then that would stay as a level part of the base levy going forward in future years. We expect, based on our projections, that's about a $200 increase per $100,000 of assessed value on a piece of property in the city of Baraboo. And the reason we're asking for that amount is so that we create basically some buffer that we can apply in future years, because that rate of inflation is still going to be a pressure on our budgets in future years. And so by asking for a little more than we need this year, we can basically invest that and have it available 4 or 5 years down the road. When we start running deficits again, we can then plug that gap with the extra money we will have collected over the next couple of years.
So just so it is clear to everyone that is listening today, Mayor Nelson, this is a $2 million per year. Every year, there's not an end date on this, then?
There's not an end date on it. We felt it was irresponsible to put an end date on, because then we would sort of reach a fiscal cliff where we fall off and all of a sudden have a deficit that we would have to find some way abruptly to plug or cut. The wording on the question is somewhat awkward, and that wording is very strictly regulated by the state on how we have to phrase the question that appears on the ballot, and so there is some confusion about that. So it's a one-time increase that stays level in subsequent years. Some folks are some folks have expressed that it's a $2 million increase this year, and then another $2 million next year, and then another $2 million, and another $2 million, that it compounds each year. And that's not the case. It's a one-time increase that then stays level after that.
Okay, so that we'll have that $2 million increase next year, and that's always going to be there. It doesn't increase year after year, but that $2 million is now part of it going forward then.
Correct.
Okay, thank you. Now, what services are provided if this passes?
What services are provided if this passes? Well, if this passes, we'll be able to maintain pretty much the services that we provide now without really making any significant cuts. We'll also be able to enhance a few things in terms of how the city operates. You know, one of the things we have going on right now, our city staff has actually dropped by about 7% over the last decade. And so you see responsibilities really being piled up in places that they maybe shouldn't be. You know, so for example, our clerk does all of our human resources work. Our city engineer, you know, doesn't have any engineering staff or any tech staff to take care of helping with road projects. Our police chief is doing a lot of our IT work. And so those are all taking away from the responsibilities that those people should be doing in their day-to-day jobs. So getting a little increase gives us some headroom to maybe bring on some assistance with human resources, with information technology, allows us to maintain staff like public work staff, administrative staff, police staff at levels that people are accustomed to without having to make any cuts to any of those departments.
Thank you. You do mention cuts. What services are cut if the referendum fails?
So city council has been looking at this for the past several weeks and giving direction on an ongoing basis. I can't make any promises at this point because no budget is final until the council actually gives their approval to it at the end of November. But based on the discussions that council has had and the direction they've given to staff, what we would be looking at immediately in 2025 is probably closing the Campbell Park pool. It would be not rehiring the City Parks and Recreation Department director. It would be not hiring a Department of Public Works position that's vacant, or at least delaying that for 6 months. It would be doing some things like shifting costs that are typically operational, such as purchase of police squads, and putting that into a debt service instead of operational. So those are some things we would be looking at in the immediate future, probably in 2025. As we project out longer term, because those would just be, you know, basically quick fixes that would budget that or would balance that 2025 budget. But that gap is still going to continue to grow after that. So you're still needing to look at longer term things. And again, these are just some things that council has directed further looking into, possibly ending services like brush collection, possibly increasing the threshold before snow plows hit the street to clear the streets of snow. And I think you'll start to see more positions go empty as they are vacant rather than getting filled.
Okay. I do have some other questions. Sure. So you did indicate that the Campbell Park pool would close. That would be a permanent closure then, yes or no?
It's hard to know at this point whether anything like that would ever be permanent. I mean, one of the things that we're hopeful about with the referendum is that it buys us time so that the legislature gives municipalities more tools in their toolbox to actually address, you know, these sorts of situations and find ways to raise more revenue. So if that were to happen, and the city got an influx of operational funds, we could look at reopening that in future years. The pool in particular is a difficult nut to crack because it's sort of a two-step process. The pool needs significant repair or replacement due to its age and some of the mechanicals down there. And so that's a capital project, which has a pretty big price tag. But it's not worth investing the funds in a capital project like that if you don't have the operational funds to pay the staff to keep the pool open each year. And so both those things sort of need to happen in tandem for the long-term sustainability of the pool and the park there.
Okay, thank you. And there has been rumors that the Civic Center would possibly close. Is that an accurate thing that would happen? Would the Civic Center close if the referendum fails?
That would be something that, again, we're looking at possibly in the long term. It's not something that we could implement in 2025 because there are leases that the city has with different groups that rent space at the Civic Center. So we can't just end those leases immediately and make that happen in 2025. But again, long term, that would be something to look at either you know, closing or selling or somehow repurposing the Civic Center so that it is not a fiscal drain on city resources.
Another item that has come up in discussions and questions is the city zoo. We have a zoo in the city of Baraboo, and there has been questions if the city will close the zoo. Is the zoo also possibly going to be closed?
That would be another one that would be on the long-term list of possibilities. Again, not something that we can implement immediately because there's animals that would have to be rehoused or rehomed, which you can't snap your fingers and make that happen. We've discussed at the council, are there opportunities for a nonprofit to step in and take over management of the zoo? Are there other creative ways to maintain that without, again, it being a budget item on the city? And that's just going to need more examination to see what step forward we can take with that. But if the referendum fails, that would definitely be something in the next couple of years that we would have to look at closing.
What type of impact would that be on the city if we do close facilities such as the pool, the zoo, or the civic center? How would that impact the city?
Well, I think it's a big impact on the quality of life. You know, one of the questions I got a few weeks ago, somebody asked me, you know, what does the city do, or how do you attract businesses and young families to the city of Baraboo? You know, what sort of incentives do you provide? And, you know, the short answer to that is the quality of life. I mean, people choose to live in places where they have things like swimming pools and zoos and parks and good public services like police and emergency services. And I think maintaining those services and amenities, you know, lends itself to the viability or the vitality of Baraboo, makes it an attractive place for people to live, makes it a great place for the people who already live here.
Mayor Nelson, we do thank you for joining us today. If people do have further questions about something that we didn't happen to ask, if they have questions about the referendum, how can they get those questions answered?
Sure.
As a city resident, of course.
Yep. We have one more public information session. So that will be Monday, October 21st, and that's at 6:30 at the public library. And so we will offer some information and take any questions that people might have at that session. We also have a website that's dedicated to information about the referendum. And so you can get to that through our homepage at baraboowi.gov. And there should be a link right near the top of that webpage that'll take you to some fact sheets, some frequently asked questions, and some additional information that can hopefully answer people's questions. And if not, there's also a email address and phone number there that people can ask specific questions if we haven't managed to answer them with that other information.
Okay, so people can go to baraboowi.gov to get to that information about the referendum, and they can make a phone call or email to you if they have questions. Mm-hmm. I assume they can stop into City Hall if they have questions as well.
Sure.
Okay, what's the address to City Hall, just in case our listeners do need to know that?
101 South Boulevard.
Thank you. And so we do want to give that opportunity. If people do have questions, that's the best way to reach out. Don't ask the questions at the radio station because we don't have the answer. So you do want to reach out to the city of Baraboo for those questions. Mayor Nelson, is there anything else you'd like to add before we close today?
No, I'd just like to thank you for the opportunity to share some of the information with your listeners, and hope that people, no matter how you feel on this issue or any other issues of the day, get out on November 5th and make your voice heard by voting.
Thank you so much for joining us today, Mayor Nelson. We appreciate you being here. We hope you have a great rest of your day.
My pleasure. Thanks for the opportunity, Dave.
You're welcome. This is Dave Grant with 99.7 Max FM.
Cardinal Rotar is hiring experienced machine operators who want a better work-life balance. They offer a 3-day work week with no weekends, giving you more free time and flexibility. If you're tired of the typical 5-day schedule, this is your chance. Call 608-588-9880 or stop by their location at 1277 East Hoxie Street in Spring Green. Fill out an application in person. Cardinal Rotar is excited to welcome you to their team. 608-588-9880.
This is an important announcement for Wisconsinites who plan to vote in the November 2024 election. Leading nonpartisan economists have analyzed the economic plans of Donald Trump and concluded that he would cause inflation to rise and the economy to slow. And 16 Nobel Prize-winning economists wrote a letter warning that Donald Trump would reignite inflation with his fiscally irresponsible budgets. Donald Trump's tariff plan would act as a national sales tax, costing the average family as much as $4,000 per year. But Vice President Kamala Harris's plan would help middle-class families deal with rising costs. In her first 100 days, Kamala Harris would pass a ban on price gouging at the grocery store. And as vice president, she worked to cap the cost of many prescription drugs, including insulin, saving many families thousands of dollars per year. On the economy, the choice is clear. Vote Kamala Harris for president. Paid for by A Better Wisconsin Together Action, www.abwt-action.org. Not authorized by any candidate or candidates committee.
I'm Kim, a U.S. Cellular customer. They asked me to tell you that their special customer event, Us Days, is back. Get $1,200 off any phone, plus $400 off any tablet.
Us Days at U.S. Cellular is back. Exclusive offers just for us, just to say thanks. Terms apply. Visit uscellular.com for details. Actor portrayal.
Whoa, slow down. Get up to $1,200 off any phone, plus $400 off any tablet. It's Us Days, going on right now at U.S. Cellular in Baraboo, the Dells, Reedsburg, and CellPlus.com.
Today's Max FM Big Deal of the Day. 50% savings at Elusive Escape Rooms in Wisconsin Dells. Experience working with your team of family and friends while solving a mystery at one of Wisconsin Dells' most popular attractions. It's the best escape you'll ever attempt to make. Do you have what it takes to make your escape? Go to MaxFMBigDeals.com and purchase $30 gift certificates for just $15. Today only at MaxFM Big Deals.
MaxFM, Gem City Weather.
Sunny and warm and a little windy today. We'll get to around 70 for a high this afternoon. The wind will be south at 15 to 25. Clear tonight, 42. Tomorrow, sunshine, 73. Then on Sunday, mostly sunny with a high back up to 78. Paying too much for health insurance? Call 800-693-9308 for better rates and coverage. 800-693-9308. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Right now, it's 45.
99.7.
80s, 90s, and more.
99.7 Max FM.
It's time for Hanging with Hovel here on Max FM. I'm Maddie Jones. We are going to be joined by Chris Hovel, our Packers expert, in just moments. Hanging with Hovel on Max FM is brought to you by Tricor Insurance and Oakwood Fruit Farm.
From small-town businesses to large multi-state operations, Tricor Insurance and Auto Owners Insurance have industry expertise that can cover all types of businesses.
Having an insurance agency that understands our business is a real benefit. They know our people. It's something Tricor does really well.
Tricor's in-depth knowledge of insurance, regulation, compliance, and safety consulting is here to help your business succeed. Working with leading insurance companies like Auto Owners Insurance, they'll be there when you need them most. Visit TricorInsurance.com to learn more about Tricor Insurance Cycle of Care.
Cruise to Oakwood Fruit Farm for great-tasting Honeycrisp, Macintosh, Cortland, and all the cooking and eating varieties of apples you love. Enjoy great-tasting fresh cider, caramel apples, squash, fresh bakery items, fresh cranberries, pumpkins, squash, and everyone's favorite apple cider donuts. Discount Tuesdays, get 10% off apples. 9 to 5, they're open 7 days a week at Oakwood Fruit Farm, south of Ithaca, on Apple Ridge Road. Just follow the signs.
Oakwood Fruit Farms, that's the one for family fun. Oakwood Fruit Farms, that's the one for...
It's time for Hanging with Hovel here on Max FM. Chris Hovel, our Packers expert, joins us for a sixth NFL season. He is a two-time national best-selling author who has covered the Packers since before Brett Favre's first start, then as a sports columnist at the Green Bay Press Gazette, and now in his 24th season as the host of Sportsline, 4 to 6 afternoons on WDUZ The Fan. Hanging with Hovel on Max FM, brought to you by Tricor Insurance and Oakwood Fruit Farm. Chris, good morning. How are you today?
Maddie, I am doing great this morning. I'm really looking forward to seeing if Jordan Love can get a third straight four-touchdown game at Lambeau Field. Hasn't been done since Brett Favre did it back in 95, right? Consecutive home games. And talk about that just for a second. Jordan sure. Love, back-to-back four-touchdown games, and we kind of, not that we shrug our shoulders, we appreciate everything he does, but it didn't take long, Maddie, to kind of be like, that's the norm.
Right. You know, and it's interesting because I saw something online the other day. One of those very talented local reporters had a fact up about the fact that on the years that Brett Favre and both Aaron Rodgers won their MVP, they were already sitting at the same basically touchdown ratio that Jordan Love is at this point as well. So obviously a little speculation on their part. I think he's got some steep competition with guys like Lamar Jackson, but it's kind of neat to have your second-year starter already, you know, you're already thinking about those things with him. He's only been in the league, for a while, but when he's only been starting for 2 years, I mean, it's already kind of fun as a Packers fan to be able to start thinking of some of those things that come with the Packers quarterback position,
well,
too.
It gives you great confidence every week going in because you feel like you have a chance in every game, and especially with this defense. But with where Jordan Love is at right now, you missed two games. He's tied for second in the NFL with touchdown passes with 12. With Joe Burrow, Baker Mayfield, of all people, with 15, leads the league. If you add Malik Willis's couple of touchdown passes in there, the Packers' offense has been really good.
Right.
Jordan Love, I have no doubt. There for a while, I was kind of with the two games missed, but he might throw more touchdown passes this year than he did last year.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, he really didn't, and that would be fair, because he really didn't start heating up until probably about three quarters of the way during the season, then, of course, into playoffs. So it would make sense that maybe he could beat those numbers this year. I guess we're going to have to just wait and see how it all works out. But, you know, we've had this great conversation about Jordan Love, so should we just hop right in here onto the offense and talk a little bit about what we can expect on Sunday against the Texans as they come into Lambeau Field? The Texans' defense is interesting because they're top of the league in some parts of what they do, and then they're bottom of the league against things like play action, and they might actually be missing two of their starting linebackers plus a safety on Sunday. I feel like this could be another big game for Jordan Love if that's the case, but I'd also see a lot of play action under center, which would slow down the pass rush a little bit because the Texans are very good on the pass rush. So what are you thinking for Sunday?
Well, the Texans can bring it for sure.
Yes.
And, I mean, Will Anderson, Danielle Hunter, familiar with those guys. I mean, mm-hmm. they are two of the best in the business. So Rashid Walker and Zach Tom are going to have to be on top of their game. The biggest challenge they have faced this point of the season. You look at how do you slow down that pass rush? Well, the temptation, there's a cornerback out, too. So you got a safety mm-hmm. and a corner down and two linebackers. And there are a lot of ways to put pressure on a secondary. I think the obvious one would be, let's just, you know, our man is better than your man. Our player is better than yours. We're going to just beat you that way. But I do think it's important to make them communicate back there.
Yeah.
And Jordan Love alluded to that a little bit. Against pressure, and I don't know if he divulged anything because they all have the film, but against pressure, I mean, their go-to play is shallow crossing route Christian Watson.
Yep.
See you later. Or Jaden Reed, if you like. But mostly Watson, he said. And so they're prepared for whatever the Texans bring. But I do think you can attack them sideline to sideline.
Yeah.
Routes, crossing routes. Make them pass guys off if they're sitting in zone. Make them run yep. all day across the field if they're in man. Make them declare pre-snap what they're in. And all of that. And I just think with where the Packers are sitting right now, the temptation may be to come and come out and throw right away.
Yeah.
But I don't know if you want to abandon the run game. And I would get a little screen action going maybe early. You got to slow down Hunter and Will Anderson.
Yeah.
And it would help, obviously, to be playing with the lead.
Yeah, absolutely. And Matt LaFleur is going to be pretty familiar with what Danielle Hunter brings to the field. Obviously, we saw him with the Vikings for quite a few years and the kind of havoc that he could wreak on an offensive line. So it should be interesting to see what Matt LaFleur kind of schemes up. Now, do you think he does anything special, or do you think he just dives deep into his playbook and does pretty much what they've been consistently doing over the last couple of weeks? That's running the ball, sprinkling in the passes, letting Jordan Love take the shots when he sees them, or do you see them maybe changing things up for this defense a little bit?
Well, it's interesting because Jordan Love was asked, do you approach the game any differently because it could be a shootout with CJ Stroud over there?
Sure.
And all of that. And you know what he said? And I think he's being honest. No, not really, because the thing is, the game plan's the game plan. And
sure.
I've said this to you, I mean, years ago, that I think one of Matt LaFleur's superpowers is his ability most times to read the game for what it is while it's unfolding. And I think he's getting better and better at that. Earlier this season, we saw the way he protected Jeff Hafley's defense when they were helping him when the offense was lesser than with Jordan Love out. And I think that'll continue now. What they're faced with, the situations as the game unfolds, he'll adjust accordingly. But I'm with you on the fact is Josh Jacobs, you got to get that guy going. Sprinkle in some Emmanuel Wilson. It's going to be the same cast of characters. Now, the question might be, do you attack with the tight ends a little bit? Do you use them to chip? And then sometimes maybe you don't. Give them a free release and get Tucker Kraft going again this week. So they have many options because they've got a really talented group of receivers. And even without Dontavian Wicks this week, you know, in some ways, maybe with Wicks' struggles, that makes them even better, perhaps.
Yeah.
I'm feeling good about going into this game.
I kind of like their odds going into this game. And I never want to talk about, you know, a team being hurt. But if this is the week that you want to attack the Texans defense, this would be the week to do it because they are missing so many starters. But let's talk about the offensive line, because at the end of last week, we saw Josh Myers leave the game and then the line shuffled. Didn't really see any. And granted, by the point that Josh Myers left the game, the defense of the Cardinals was pretty much depleted. But you didn't really see any changes to what they were able to do, the type of protection they were able to give Jordan Love, who at sometimes last week felt like he had an affinity to throw the ball. Did it not? And so that speaks volumes about what the offensive line was able to do, but also maybe about the pass rush of the Cardinals, too. But at the same time, it looks like Josh Myers is healthy. I haven't really seen anything on the injury report that would indicate he's going to miss any time or maybe even miss this game. Do you see them, you know, giving him the week, or do you think they're going to let him go if he's ready and just to hope that he can sustain what this Texans pass rush is capable of doing?
Well, I think if he's able to go, he will, because he's an offensive lineman. I mean, it's just a flesh wound, you know. I think he'll be okay that way. I'm curious to see how the tackles stand up, because it's their biggest test to date. And Rashid Walker, Zach Tom, no worries. Rashid Walker, on the other hand, not concerned, but just I'm really curious to see how it plays out against Will Anderson, who's one of the best in the business.
Might be where your Tucker Crafts end up having to help out just a little bit more, or even your Christian Watsons too, because we've seen him have to help out in the blocking game a few different times this year. So,
they send him in motion. It's not necessary to spring him for a pass. Why are they always motioning towards Will Anderson?
Right?
Well, because that's Will Anderson.
You know, I guess for me, I would continue with the hot hand, because Josh Jacobs and Emmanuel Wilson have been doing some pretty incredible things on the field, and let Jordan Love do what Jordan Love does. We obviously know that the knee is feeling better, but he isn't 100%, and we knew that was going to be the case for a few weeks this season, right, after he came back from that knee injury. So just letting him kind of be back there, and I mean, maybe make those few runs when he has to, whether they're planned or whether they're impromptu based on what he's seeing. I think the game plan for the offense stays exactly the same. And I'm hoping it does because it's worked up until this point. So why fix what's broken at this point, right?
For sure. I mean, they're at top. The sack percentage is the best in the NFL. Jordan Love's touchdown percentage per pass attempts is number one in the NFL. I mean, those are two really good stats to have going for you. And they obviously one feeds off the other. Feel good about the O-line. Feel good about their chances to attack. And I still think some horizontal before you go vertical, maybe, you know, make them run sideline to sideline a little bit and then spring something deep on them. Call your shot, pick your shot, and pick your receiver, because I don't care if it's Reed or Dobbs or Watson. Any of those three, fine. Melton, fine with me.
And, you know, if you're going horizontally, you know, at some point, if you're missing your two starting linebackers, like presumably the Texans are going to be, it creates a little confusion for the new guys in there, too. See what they're made of. See what they've got in them, if they can actually run down one of those ultra-fast receivers that Green Bay has on their side right now.
Exactly. Get them flowing one way and then change it up the other. And I think they're going to have all that. And I know for a fact they're not taking the Texans lightly in general, and specifically the two pass rushers. Like you said, they know all about Hunter and Anderson, so they're not going to take it lightly. And I think the offensive line, I'm guessing anyway, will rise to the occasion.
I think so. They've been getting better slowly as the season has progressed. You can tell that, you know, the offseason is hard for any offensive line, and not those reps that they might want to get for the cohesiveness. But I feel like the offensive line and Josh Myers, I know he's been, you know, begrudged by fans for a couple of years now, but even he has been better from last year into this year.
Yes.
And so I don't really have any qualms. Is that weird going into this game? Where there's not like a lot that we can pick apart, right?
No, I mean, it's kind of like just wait for kickoff and go get them.
Right, and see what they've got and see how it all works out. So it's kind of a weird feeling that there's not a lot after the last couple of seasons to parse through on the offense, which is a good, it's good if you're a football fan, especially of the Green Bay Packers right now. You know, one of the things as we wrap up the talk on the offensive side, I thought it was interesting. There were interesting comments coming from D'Amico Ryans, head coach of the Texans this week, when he basically said Jordan Love, as we go back to that conversation we were having at the very beginning, was the best quarterback the Texans will have faced this season. I mean, they've played guys like Josh Allen. So for D'Amico Ryans to be saying something like that, and obviously a coach always wants to be very respectful of the opposing team, but I thought those were interesting words that he used at the podium describing Jordan Love, when they have played some pretty high caliber quarterbacks already. So
very flattering. I don't think it's faint praise, though. I do think he believes that he's one of the best anyway. I mean, he could argue easily, and he probably believes he's got the best quarterback in CJ Stroud.
Yeah.
You know, but this is one of those matchups that interconference, Chiefs and Niners, Chiefs at the Niners, the AFC coming over, and the Texans, the other team next to the Chiefs, 5-1, coming to Green Bay. So it'll give you a little gauge at the conference strength, perhaps.
Yeah.
But I like the matchup, except the only thing, well, not the only thing, but we'll get over to that side of the ball and the kicker for sure, but is how well can Jeff Hafley's defense stop the run?
Okay, well, let's get into that here, because this Texans team, if you've watched any of the of their games this year, their offense has relied on some really big plays to move the ball. In fact, they've been a pretty bad team at sustaining drives with CJ Stroud this year. The Packers defense is going to have to make them stay on the field and drive the ball. That's what I see is the key. Make them stay on the field and make them continue to move the ball, because CJ Stroud has made some mistakes and they have not been able to sustain like they did particularly last year, at least at this point. And we maybe saw them come a little bit more into form last week, but I still think there's some things that they're working on offensively. What is your take?
Well, a couple of our guys in the division who've played, we talk our trip around the NFC North every Wednesday and get a recast of what went on in the division, what's to come. And the Vikings reporter and I believe the Bears, who both played the Texans, said that they're a different team with Joe Mixon or without.
Okay.
And now they have Damon Pierce back too.
Right.
So they got rid of Cam Akers, traded him to the Vikings.
Yep.
And so with Joe Mixon, they're a totally different offense, meaning they can sustain drives when they have him.
Yep.
He had the huge opening game first week of the season. And he bothers me a little bit because he's rejuvenated. Sure. He's not the guy that was kind of slogging around for the Bengals there the last couple of years.
He's a good back. He has been for a majority of his career. But I think just the Bengals mentality got to him a little bit. But he's always been a really good back. I mean,
averaging
he's always
five
been,
and a half a carry, Maddie.
Right?
And then Damon Pierce has not had many carries, but he's averaging over eight. So they can get the run game going when they try. And I think a lot of that is because of the threat of C.J. Stroud and the deep
sure.
plays.
So yeah,
they
absolutely.
Kind of work hand in hand that way for them.
You know, and it's interesting because Jeff Hafley at the podium yesterday, you know, we've praised the use of the rookies. Evan Williams in the backfield at safety, Edgerrin Cooper at the linebacker position. I thought the comments that Jeff Hafley made yesterday were interesting, especially when you're talking about the run game. He had all sorts of praise to say about Javon Bullard and how he picks up the game and the fact that he's correcting his mistakes. The praise was not the same when he talked about Edgerrin Cooper, which maybe tells us some of the elements that we don't see as fans, maybe why he's not getting as much play time. But I just as we talk about Joe Mixon and the run game and the speed of Edgerrin Cooper and that linebacking position for the Green Bay Packers, I thought those were interesting comments coming from the coordinator.
You know, you wonder with Cooper, maybe they just don't want to give him too much too soon.
Sure.
And they're sensing something that he's really good at certain things, but they want to set him up for success.
Sure.
I got to say, Cooper's position, much more, I would think, complexity to it than
yeah.
even what they're asking Javon Bullard, although that slot corner is a huge, huge
yep.
position. So I guess every rookie kind of learns at its own pace, at their own pace, and all of that. But, you know, there hasn't really been a reason to have to force
right.
Cooper onto the field.
You know, he's also missed a lot of time. He had that hip injury early on in training camp, which took him out of a big chunk of training camp and a big chunk of the preseason games. And then that hip injury kind of popped back up after he got back on the field. I believe it was during the second or last preseason game. I can't remember off the top of my head. You probably know better than I do.
I think the last, actually.
And then he missed some time in practices and things like that going forward. So you got to wonder if maybe just the lack of time, because we've all heard it, right? That jump from going from college to the NFL is not always easy, especially at certain positions. And from how I understand it, that the linebacker position is one of those positions where it's a little bit tougher. Bigger guys, more speed, and you know, sometimes there's more nuances, and maybe just the lack of time has, you know, out on the field has maybe made some of those mistakes a little bit more amplified in comparison to some of the rookies. I'm just guessing at this point.
Well, you know, if you guess the wrong hole and you're playing peekaboo like Quay Walker
right.
has at times. In the NFL, there's no fooling around. They're not
right.
waiting for you to figure
right.
it out.
Right.
And Cooper the same. But I'm confident. Quay Walker
yeah.
spoke at length yesterday, or actually yesterday it was.
Yeah.
And you know, he didn't get defensive at all. He talked about how he needs to play better.
Sure.
And he's like, that's kind of fairly obvious, and I don't base it on tackle totals
right.
or any of that. So he said, I'm paid to track down their ball carrier, the guy with the ball I'm supposed to hit and get. But he said, I need to be better, and he's working toward it. So at least he's aware, you know. He has an awareness. And I don't like it when they get really defensive
right.
when they're asked. And it's much better to go this way and say, hey, look, I'm calling it for what it is, but I can be better, I will be better, and we're going to be okay.
You know, and the
whether
threat
that
of
happens or not, you know,
right.
We'll see,
And sometimes the threat of a young, hungry rookie coming at your heel sometimes makes you want to play the game a little bit differently and see it a little bit differently, too. We've seen that time and time again in the league, you know, on other teams, too. Now, one of the things that I think I would be most concerned about for this game on Sunday is going to be Tank Dell. And I feel like we've talked about Joe Mixon being, you know, one of those guys who can change the offense for the Texans. I feel like Tank Dell, it could be a little bit of an X factor. I mean, the Jair and Diggs saga it's noted. We've seen it time and again, right?
Yeah.
Dell actually lines out wide more often though than in the slot at almost a 2-to-1 ratio. Keyshawn Nixon, by the way, allows a 103.2 quarterback rating when he's lined up as an outside corner. Eric Stokes is at a 104.3. So if that's the case, now you've got to make some concessions for some of the other receivers that the Texans have in that big arm of C.J. Stroud's.
I mean, you look at this. Imagine if they had Nico Collins. because
I'm kind of glad they don't. I'm kind of glad they don't. But yeah,
he's still leading the NFL in receptions.
I know,
and he's missed a game and a half.
I know, it's crazy.
The guy is amazing. 17.7 per catch. They don't have him. Their problem, boo-hoo. But, you know, when you've got those 100-plus passer ratings, which I believe are a pretty good gauge on your perimeter corners, that's not a good thing. Although,
no.
You know, in fairness to Edger and Cooper, I mean, Evan Williams probably comes up to him and says, man, I got X. I got Xavier taking me under
right?
his wing. And you have, oh, yeah.
You know, I hate to pick on Quay Walker, but he is.
I do too.
he looks a little lost out there a lot of the times, and it's kind of hard to watch, you know, especially when you're watching it from the angle that you get at home, because you can see that he's running in completely the wrong direction and has no idea what's happening. And so it's just a little frustrating as a Packers fan, because you're like, just go tackle, find the ball. That's what you should be doing. And it feels like sometimes he has issues doing that, but he's acknowledging it himself. So maybe we'll be a little relieved and maybe surprised by the end of the season. Hopefully,
I'll be curious to see how the Texans attack with their tight end Dalton Schultz, because
yes.
It's been like 3 catches a game, only pretty underwhelming all the way around with the tight end position. But with no Collins and trying to generate
right.
some plays and move the chains, to your point, where they haven't been very good, you know, bringing the tight end into play would help.
Yeah.
But then again, you got a Javon Bullard creeping over there, and guys
yep.
who are pretty good. The Packers have not, to my knowledge, this season been really gashed by a tight end, have they?
I don't think so, which, you know what, that's another one of those weird anomalies, because how many years in this offense, I mean, even going back into the Rodgers days, did you see this team get gashed by tight ends?
Oh,
it was
we talk
like
about it all
kryptonite.
The time, and it wasn't just when they played Travis Kelce or George Kittle.
No, it was like a kryptonite for this team. So the fact that they've actually checked that, like have a check on that is also kind of one of those odd phenomenons for a Packers defense right now. But, you know, again, as we've talked about over the last couple of weeks, you know, you expect at this point to see Jeff Hafley's defense make some sort of step forward on Sunday, because that's what we've become accustomed to in just a very short amount of time. It's not always pretty. Sometimes it gets a little rocky, but at the same time, when push comes to shove, we've seen this defense make some big strides, and it's like they have a goal that they're trying to reach every single week. And that probably depends on the team, the quarterback, the offensive line, but it feels like every week there's something new that they're trying to achieve. And so far you'd have to give them an A on achieving some of those standards that they're putting forward for this defense as it comes to really comes to form, right? Because I don't think
well,
they're anywhere
layers.
Near what they're going to be.
Adding layers every week, getting rookies to play, and getting them really incorporated fairly early, actually. I mean, for fans
yeah.
who get impatient, you and I might at times, I'm not saying we are, but could be included in that.
Sometimes, yes.
You know, you want the rookies out there and all of that, but they've incorporated them. They've blended into complementary football, I think, and it's a two-way street. LaFleur has been really good about not putting Hafley's defense in bad positions if he doesn't have
yeah.
to. And I think Hafley has given the Packers a chance to win every single game.
Yep.
Ugly against the Vikings early, and then could have been better against the Eagles. But, gee, a couple of turnovers early, point blank.
Yeah.
You get some scores there, and you have the lead. It's a whole different game against Jalen Hurts. But that's in the past, but I think the defense, you're right, it's coming together, the complementary football. We saw it at its best last week, and who knows, now Sunday, I think that
yeah.
should continue upward mobility, because I don't see the weaknesses as he gets to know his personnel better.
Yeah.
On top
yeah,
of it, now
absolutely
we can fault something. You know, Lucas Van Ness, I'm still waiting to see first round whatever.
Yeah.
Other players we can pick a little bit on, but and Devontae Wyatt, the absence there, but you can't pin it on just one guy, because
no.
that can happen every. I mean, the Lions going to quit because of Aiden Hutchinson? No. So.
No, absolutely not. You know, and obviously that's going to be an injury that we're going to see how that affects the Lions defensive front, because that was a brutal injury. You just really hope all the best for Aiden Hutchinson and see how it shakes out for that team going forward. Absolutely.
You know, our Lions reporter said he suspects that their defense is going to try to at times blitz their way through it.
Yeah.
Because
perhaps.
They believe in the secondary,
yep.
they believe in the linebackers, and they don't have a pass rush up front.
And
but,
that's what
know.
Max actually thinks too. And I said, do you think they'll go make a trade for a guy like Max Crosby? And he said, I hope not, but he's like, He goes, I don't know. He's like, Dan Campbell likes a tight locker room and he likes his guys. And he said, I don't know if he's going to make that type of move. And he said, if he's going to want to pay the type of money that a Max Crosby is going to command. So we'll see. We'll see what they do at some point in time here. Now, I think it is interesting because when we're going to talk about the kicker here very quickly in a moment as well, because that situation changed. But as I was doing a little digging into this game and I was looking at some of the predictions, it's funny to me that so many reporters out there call the Texans the more complete team. And I just thought that was interesting. And I don't know why, because to me, the Green Bay Packers are a young, hungry team. You've got a lot of really amazing pieces. I'm just not sure. Maybe they're calling them more complete because there's not as many vets and we don't really know what they have in front of them quite yet. But I thought it was really interesting that reporters were calling the Texans the more complete team. So
if they have all their defenders, perhaps.
Sure.
If they have Nico Collins, perhaps.
Sure.
But I wouldn't concede anything if I'm the Packers to anybody.
Right, right. No, and I agree. And I think that's maybe why I found it interesting that so many reporters were using the term that they were the more complete team.
What do reporters know, Maddie? I've known this for years.
Well, I was looking at some of the records. Apparently not much. So let's just be honest it here this morning. Now, we do have to talk about the kicking game because Packers went out and made the move that I think a lot of people were hoping they were going to make. Now, I know that with the Brandon McManus story and the reason why he was out of the league, there's some people who feel a little icky about the whole situation. I kind of feel like after listening to Brian Gutekunst talk about the move the other day after it was done and signed, sealed, and basically delivered there to practice. I feel like they would not have brought him on if they thought there was anything else that was going to pop up from some of these allegations that were against him and some of the court cases that he was up against. So I feel like if you're a Packers fan, you got to trust that they did the vetting process and they did their due diligence. And it's the Green Bay Packers. Come on. They don't do anything without making sure the everything's swept up and tidy before they walk out the door, right? I mean, it's just how they operate.
I'm at odds a little bit over this with my fellow brethren radio guys at our own station,
okay.
It turns out. It's fine to have different opinions
and
all of that, and I'm not knocking them when I say this, but I think there are some out there, either in the media or the fans, they like to take a high-handed approach.
Sure.
And that's fine, and if you shouldn't have signed Brandon McManus. Well, really? And here's the way I would put this, okay? Brian Gutekunst and Matt LaFleur, but Brian Gutekunst especially, his mission statement, his number one job duty is to do everything in his power to help the Packers, to lead the Packers to win as many games as possible within the rules of the league. And that's the key, within the rules. The NFL says this guy is cleared and he is able to play. There's nothing here to see for disciplinary action.
Yeah.
Then I have to side with the Packers because it would be a dereliction of duty if you didn't sign the guy, if you're Brian Gutekunst. And I threw the hypothetical out there as I was getting blowback and whatnot that you don't sign him because you're going to be the moral police. The NFL, are they the morality police for the league? I hardly think so. And so let someone else get McManus.
Not with some of the decisions they've made on other players. Yes, I'm looking at you, Deshaun Watson. They are not the morality police in any way, shape, or form. Yeah.
Yeah, the Packers should draw the line on Brandon McManus versus what the Browns and Deshaun Watson are doing.
Right.
And so one of the problems I had with this, so the hypothetical was you don't sign McManus. Your kicker in the championship game in the NFC misses the 45-yarder. McManus nails the 50 coming back at the gun to beat you.
Yeah.
I would love to see Brian Gutekunst at this podium, but